The word today is mercy. Welcome to The Word Today with pastor and Bible teacher Doug Schrader. God is sovereign, which means He rules over all things. Because He is King of the universe, He makes decisions on which people to use for His purposes, and He can choose to punish them or to be merciful to them. Here to explain God's mercy to us through Jesus Christ is Pastor Doug Schrader on The Word Today, Mercy.
The topic of God's mercy is especially enjoyable for us to look into because we all want God's forgiveness and God's favor. But in order to really appreciate God's mercy, we must first take a look at His justice or His wrath upon sin. In the same way that a rainbow looks so beautiful to us, it would not look as stunning and gorgeous if it were not set against the black darkness of the judgment, so to speak, of the rain clouds. In the same way, God's mercy is brilliant and beautiful when it's looked at against the background of God's wrath and judgment. And so in the same way, we're going to take a look now today at the justice and judgment of God for a few minutes, and then we will shift to the much more bright and beautiful topic of God's mercy. The Bible is very clear, and it states that we are all sinful, we are all corrupted humans, and as such, we are under God's judgment, under His wrath. This happens at our birth. The original sin, the corruption that is passed on from generation to generation, does not let us escape God's punishment. And we all need to be born again, as Jesus said. We need to be saved from our sins. If we deny that we are sinful, we're really fooling ourselves. That's what 1 John chapter 1 says. And so we don't want to play this game trying to convince ourselves that we are a good person, that we're really not that evil. The fact of the matter is we have a tendency to be blind to our own sins and to overlook our own faults. So we definitely don't want to be guilty of self-delusion. It's far, far better to admit the fact that everyone else around us can see, and that is that we are a sinful person. Now, in discussing the sovereignty of God, that is, starting with His justice, we have to acknowledge the fact that He is king, that He is judge. This is called His sovereignty, the term sovereign referring to a king. In Christianity, there are different emphases that different Christians have, and this is one of them that you will find divided kind of neatly down the middle. There'll be some Christians that have an emphasis on the sovereignty of God, and He is described as king constantly, and then there'll be other Christians who constantly describe God as Father. Both of these are biblical images of God, and they're both legitimate. There's plenty of passages that support an emphasis on God as king and an emphasis on God as Father. But you'll find that Christians tend to fall into one of the two camps over which they will emphasize more. In our tradition, that is the Lutheran tradition, we like emphasizing God as Father. We don't want to forget His justice and His kingship, but we like emphasizing in the end the mercy of God. And that is where we like to end up our discussions on His judgment, on His justice, is the fact that we turn back to the point that He is merciful. And that's what we're going to do today. First, we're going to focus on Romans chapter 9. This is a very intense piece of scripture. I'd just like to read a little bit of it where Paul is talking about salvation, and he says, "It does not therefore depend on man's desire or effort, but on God's mercy. For the scripture says to Pharaoh, 'I raised you up for this very purpose, that I might display my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth.' Therefore, God has mercy on whom he wants to have mercy, and he hardens whom he wants to harden. One of you will say to me, then why does God still blame us for who resists his will? But who are you, O man, to talk back to God? Shall what is formed say to him who formed it, why did you make me like this? Does not the potter have the right to make out of the same lump of clay some pottery for noble purposes and some for common use? This is a difficult text because it says, in essence, that God as creator can make the choice how he wants to deal with us, and we have no recourse. We have no way of demanding that he treat us differently. And in Romans chapter 9, it gives three illustrations of how God dealt with people in ways that we might not. In two of the cases, there were individuals who had children, and in the ancient world, the oldest child typically received the birthright and the bulk of the inheritance. And in these two instances, the roles were reversed, and the younger child received this blessing. In the one case, it was with Abraham and his two sons, Ishmael and Isaac. Now, God had promised to Abraham that he would give him a son. But as time went on, Sarah got a little impatient, and she suggested that Abraham go to Hagar, Abraham's concubine, and have a son by her. Well, Abraham did so, and the resultant son was named Ishmael, but God made it extremely clear that this was not the promised child that he had intended. And sure enough, in due time, Sarah herself became pregnant, and she gave birth to another son, a younger son, who was now considered number two for Abraham. But God made it clear that Isaac, not Ishmael, would be the child of promise and through whom God's people would develop. In a similar vein, Isaac, when he was a man and had children, had a pair of twins, Jacob and Esau. And even though Esau was the first out of the chute, even though he was born just seconds before Jacob, he was supposed to be this inheritor. The whole bulk of the leadership was supposed to be transferred to Esau, but as the events twisted and turned in this family setting where there was plenty of infighting, Jacob ended up getting this position of blessing and birthright. And then in the third instance, Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, God simply hardens his heart. And this is an extremely challenging thing for us because it just seems so counter to God's mercy and love to harden someone's heart and destroy them. Let me suffice to say that God gave an authentic opportunity to Pharaoh in order to turn, in order to be saved. In fact, 10 times God as a sovereign said to Pharaoh as a king, "Do what I bid," and Pharaoh denied. Pharaoh resisted. In fact, in all three of these cases, these individuals knew the true God, had contact with him, so it's not as though God left them without any blessing or without any opportunity to be saved. Well, since this is the case that God's justice is so extreme and that he can simply make his decision, just like a potter can take a piece of clay and he can use it for, as it says, noble purposes or common purposes, just as God makes his decisions in our lives, he also decides to save us. One thing I'd like to point out doctrinally is that I do not see in the Bible what's called double predestination. That meaning the teaching that God decides beforehand who's saved and who's damned. Double predestination says that God selects both those who are being saved and those who are going to hell. I have a problem with that because there's so many scriptures like 1 Timothy chapter 1 that says that God wants all people to be saved and to come to a knowledge of salvation. I believe that God only slates for eternal life those people whom he knows will make it. In other words, he's not rejecting anyone in the sense of preventing them from being saved. His offer of salvation is, as the scripture says, for the whole world, just as like in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his son. So I think that offer is valid. However, God has made the plan of salvation and has paved the way for those who love him to receive eternal life. Almost like on a trip itinerary, he has made the entire process, laid it all out so that those who are taking the trip can achieve the goal, can arrive at the destination. And that's how I take a look at predestination, that God is moving us toward that final destination. And I certainly hope that you're one of those individuals that is on that journey. Now that we've seen God's justice, his mercy seems all the sweeter. In fact, the mercy in his son, Jesus Christ. And we think about that phenomenal nature of that mercy when Jesus, even from the cross, as he is suffering and dying for our sins, he calls out, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." I find that so incredible that Jesus is still able to have mercy on us people, even when humans are putting him to death. It's just an amazing sign of his strength. I want to end with one last thought, and this is from Hebrews chapter 10, and it's a warning against misappropriating God's mercy. When you misappropriate something, it means that you misuse it or misplace it. Well, in Hebrews 10, we're told that we are not to deliberately keep on sinning. We are not to reject the law of God. We are not to insult the Spirit of God and trample underfoot the Son of God. In other words, don't take for granted and don't think lightly of this mercy that God wants to give you in Jesus Christ. If you do so, there's nothing left but God's judgment. But God doesn't want that for you. He wants you to receive his kindness. He wants you to receive his love. He wants to be close to you and befriend you. Yes, if you refuse and if you are militant against God, you will be judged. But God's will is that you repent and that you turn, that you live, and that you discover in Jesus Christ the full measure of God's mercy.
Thank you, Pastor Schrader, for your message today. We appreciate your helpful thoughts and biblical insight. And thank you, friends, for joining us for the Word today. We hope that you were blessed by the message. Did you know that you can find the Word today on the web at thewordtoday.org? There you can listen to sermons and read responses from listeners from around the world. We would love to hear from you, so visit thewordtoday.org to write or send us an email. And if God moves you to send a gift to support the Word today, you can do so by credit card at the website. Your free will offering helps this program stay on the air and allows us to add new languages and stations to proclaim God's Word around the world. There are no salaries or administrative costs at the Word today, so all of your gift is used for spreading God's Word by radio and the web. The Word today is heard in more than 50 languages worldwide, and as our ministry grows, we hope to add even more. One of our goals is to have the Word today translated instantly into 20 languages and made available for streaming or download on thewordtoday.org. If you would like to give to support these efforts, please visit thewordtoday.org. That's the Word today. Each week at this time, The Word Today brings you a study on a word that applies Christian principles directly to your daily life. We hope that you will share this week's lesson with your friends and family, and that you will join us again next week for The Word Today.